Welcome to Scaling the Gap. My name is Madeline McCray, CEO and co-founder of Legacy Leadership Institute, where we are on a mission to help leaders leverage introspection, scale their organizations, and create lasting legacies that leave an enduring impact. Well, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new recording of the Scaling the Gap podcast. I am so delighted to have my dear friend, and I've been a multiple guest on her multiple shows, Nikita Thigpen, here with us today. I am just super looking forward to our conversation because she is just such a bright light. So let me share a little bit about her with you. As the number one balance and relationship advisor in the world, activating power couples and potent humans, Nikita can attest to the power of being intentionally selfish. And I am just delighted to share her with you today. So welcome to the show, Nikita.
You know, I am so honored and so excited to be here with you today.
Well, it is super mutual. Why don't you share with our listeners who may not know you, much to their own dismay, but today we're fixing that. So why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and the work that you do out in this world?
Yeah, absolutely. So a little context for everyone listening. I am one of those multi-passionate, multi-hyphenated humans. My background comes from being a licensed clinical social worker and a relationship expert. So all things human behavior are my jam, from sexology to trauma-informed cognitive behavioral therapy and everything in between, down to coaching and metaphysics. And the way we show up now in the company my husband and I started almost 13 years ago at the time of this recording. So I'm officially a rebellious teenager in the business world. I'm about to start acting out. So y'all be prepared as you get to know me.
I love it.
We started Think Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, Highlight Real. It's a personal development company. But what we're doing underneath is we're guiding these power couples and potent humans to self-actualize their wholeness through balance and architecting amplified intimacy from the bedroom to the boardroom.
Ooh, what a broad width. I love it. So tell us what you mean about a potent human. Who is a potent human? Who is a power couple? Who are those individuals for you?
Yeah. So our power couples are also, they're made up of potent humans, right? Okay. And potent humans for us are usually women, founders, consultants, entrepreneurs, high-level executives, high-achieving executives, and sometimes a few brave men, if they happen to swoop them up into their, you know, union. We call them forever lovers, which is very important because we want people to attract people who will be in their forever ecosystem in whichever way they will be there. Power couples is a little sticky term for most people because they immediately think, oh, just, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z, like people who are just making money and flossing and doing those things. And yes, you should be in a space of prosperity and wealth, but I don't mean it necessarily just in monetization. For us, in order to qualify as a power couple, you have to be philanthropic. You have to be influential in whatever your industry is. So if you're the maker of the muff on my microphone and people, you know, you're doing good impact work, you're influential in your industry, even though people who listen to today's music may not have necessarily ever heard of you. So you may not look like a celebrity from the way people see it. But the third component is you have to be an advocate. You cannot be hiding under the covers when there are big things happening affecting people disproportionately around the world. You have to be in it. You can be in it privately through your philanthropical work. You can be in it through your politics, or you could be in it through those backroom conversations where you guys are signing petitions and doing the real grassroots work. But you have to do it. It's super important for who I am as a human.
I love that. I love that. So it's care for individual, care for community, care for world, right? It's very, starts from the within and then radiates outward to kind of uplift and bless the world at large. So I love that.
Thank you.
What is it that makes you so interested in potent humans? Wow, a potent human that just, because you can watch it. I mean, for those of you watching, you can see light up on your face. And for those of you listening, I'm sure you hear it in the words chosen. there's something that just lights a fire inside of you when you talk about potent humans. Why? Yeah. What will happen for you?
For me personally, it's the game changing that's really important. So all humans are beautiful in their own way, right? We all have something to give. We all have purpose within us. Many of us are just trying to dig through that calcified chaos of life storms and drama and hurt and pain to get to it. Mm-hmm. But for those that are potent, they are exceptionally giving, but they also have exceptional boundaries, which mm-hmm. makes them what I would consider a really balanced human. And I know people have challenges with that word balance. They want to say integration or harmony, and all of those things are applicable. But for us, balance is a formula. I'm a polymath. I'm a nerd for life. I'll never let that go. I know that you know that personally.
Yes, for sure. Right? Like, I'm also a nerd for life, but it's a language nerd. So we have types of nerdiness up in this room right now. Yes. What's the equation?
So it's T over B. If you think of the letter T like Tom, the letter B like boy, but put it in a fraction. So mm-hmm. the T is admitting the truth of what you really want in your life. So needs are understood. We need physical safety. We need shelter. We need loving, trusting relationships. We understand that. But beyond that, so in addition to that space of and, A-N-D, that I like to put in parentheses, what more do you want in that overflowing abundance? What else is there that's juicy that literally lights you up when mm-hmm. you think about waking up in the morning and you get excited, even though there's a storm coming, even though you may have caregiving responsibilities or, you know, a child who did not sleep all night or whatever might happen, but you still have this light in you because you're in that space of overflow. Mm-hmm. If you know what that is, which evolves and expands as we grow, because we arrive at these different points. So you have to give yourself a little grace with that reality. What you wanted at 20 may not be what you want at 40 or 60 and beyond, right? But really living into that, that's that self-actualization piece of wholeness, which is living fully into who you are in that moment. Mm-hmm. But you have to know what it is and give yourself that space, being intentionally selfish, space to say, okay, I've achieved this. I understood that. I love this, but it's not enough anymore. And that's okay. It's not being in your ego. It's not being self-absorbed because you said, I've done a lot of great things. And I want to do more, or I want to receive more, because I've been in years of giving and I really want some time to allow it. That's all in the T. And there's like a whole bunch of like micro formulas to it in terms of how that breaks down. But the B is your boundaries, the boundaries you create to achieve that T, your truth, as your reality. You can't say, I want to be a mogul, but I'm going to go to every single birthday party, every baby shower, every divorce party, everything that's happening, because I don't want to disappoint my family and friends that I've known since I was 10, right? That's really hard for you to do your impactful, imprintful work on the multiple generations to come if you want to be a mogul, when you can't say no, so you can make room for your yes. So it's really important to create those boundaries and have them expansive enough so you can enjoy vacation. And when you have to fly for work, you feel good about adding 2 days on the back end of it so you can actually explore the country that you're visiting, you know, for work. Boundaries are expansive and liberating. They shouldn't feel suffocating. And that's our formula for balance. If you got your T and you have your B, you're in balance, even if you're in the middle of a tsunami.
Right. I love that. I love how expansive your definition of truth is. Yeah. That there's an absolute non-negotiable needs filled. Yes. Like, that's not even, you talk about it, but that's your non-negotiable. That's what I call table stakes, right? If your needs aren't being filled, if you're not feeling safe, if you're not having all of the necessities, so that's that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If these are not filled, you have no space. But it sounds to me like your potent humans are very high up on that hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And they're really on that self-actualization journey.
Yes.
And it might be on like layer two or layer three of self-actualization. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved how you talked about what might have been enough for you. You set out to achieve all this. You achieved it all. But what was what was aspirational for you now is now baseline.
Yes, it's your floor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your floor. It's become your new normal. So I talk about that with my clients often about living on the outside of their dreams.
Yes.
Right? Because so often when we're young, and I'm just going to say young, when we are young, even when you're children or you're early in your career, doesn't matter, you can only see as far as you can see. And as far as the examples around you permit you to see, right? And even with all of our social media and access to so many people, your circle often defines the radius of your vision, right?
That's like right.
And as I look at it, as you climb the mountain, right, you realize, oh my gosh, there's more. Oh my gosh, there's more. Oh my gosh, there's more. And it can be really disempowering when people in your life say, well, Nikita, when's enough enough, right? When's enough enough?
Yeah.
And that's because they're looking at it often from a financial perspective. Like, how much money is enough money? How are you going to spend all that?
Yeah. Right?
But it's not about that. It's about living your truth, right? And the wealth and the prosperity piece, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's not the picture.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I need to take you on the road with me. And
dynamic duo.
There's so much yes in everything that you said, because that's the reality. Like, some people, to your point of, they want you to have great things. They want you to do great things. And they are really afraid because they're projecting on you through their own lack of safety or scarcity, which is a huge thing that even your favorite cousin, your favorite sibling, your favorite friend for 20 plus years, or your favorite advisor, often they have these limitations that they don't realize are preventing them from being able to breathe life into you. And it can start to feel very stifling if you're not careful, which is why you have to reevaluate. I call them your kitchen table. So it was funny that you called up the thing, your table assets.
Yeah.
You got to evaluate who's sitting at your kitchen table, because it does matter. It doesn't mean you got to kick them out of your house. You know, your big heart. You don't have to kick them out, but maybe go sit their butt on the living room, because they can't be in there making decisions with you.
Right, at the table. Right. You need to upgrade your circle of advisors.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So I was just teaching retreat this weekend. We have two retreats that are kind of stable every year, called Reset and Recast. Reset is our reset the narrative of your life. You know, really consider where you are today and where you're going. And one of the sessions that I was teaching is about, how do you identify people within your life? And I heard this speaker fairly recently, mention a concept that I was like, oh yes, because you've heard so many times, people are in your life for a reason, a season. I mean, that's so common. They talked about it in terms of, you have leaf people are attached to the tree, but the nature of the leaf is to give nourishment to the tree, to support photosynthesis, and fall to the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
And when a leaf person floats to the ground, we don't need to be angry, right? It's the nature of a leaf to detach.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And then for our branch people, branches are much more stable. They're much more steady, but they sometimes do break. Right? They sometimes do fall off. And branch people are to support and to be part of the growth, but they don't necessarily inform the growth. And then you've got your root people.
Yeah.
And your root people are the people who really inform your growth.
Yeah.
But the way that I look at it is, sometimes we mistake longevity in our life as a root person.
When Come on. Really
like a first budding branch that's now very big and stable for us, we can love the branch, but the branch doesn't get a say in where we go next.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, I love this so much. This is such a great metaphor.
Yeah, it really is supportive, because there's so often pain on an entrepreneur side, on your side, on our client side, when we realize that we look at it as we're leaving people behind, or we've outgrown somebody, we feel like somehow we've done something wrong, or we've done something to them, or we're disappointing them. But it's just that we have to reassess where they fall in our lives. It doesn't make them bad or wrong. But the simple fact is, they did not sign up for the journey you did.
That's right.
Not sign up for entrepreneurial life with all of its like crazy ups and downs. Right.
We didn't sign up for all of the ups and downs.
We didn't even know. My dad used to joke that if a Mason saw all of the bricks that they would lay in their whole life, they would never pick up the first brick. Like, they'd abandon that job immediately because who wants that, right? And I think entrepreneurial life is no different. If we knew in advance just how challenging it would be, just how much growth we'd have to do, we might not be willing to take that first step.
That's so true.
Really might not be willing.
That's so true. I know for me, I was pretty convinced that I had did as much work as needed to be done.
Yes.
On myself personally, prior to coming into being, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, right? I was like, I got it. First of all, I am the helper, right? Like, I'm the helper who's helping all the people. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm a clinician at the time that I entered in, you know, specializing in trauma, relationships, all the juicy stuff. I'm like, oh, yes, I got this.
Yeah.
Walked into the proverbial doors of entrepreneurship. Didn't realize I had confidence issues. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize I was insecure. Mm-hmm. And the ways that I was insecure, didn't realize that I was a doubter. Like, I would have never called myself a doubter. I'm very much, and still am, a risk taker, which I think is a natural attribute of most entrepreneurs, right? Whether you're an introvert or extrovert, doesn't matter. And I was fairly, in a good way, risky, not reckless. Yeah. So, you know, very appropriate to it. But I became very small in the earlier days of entrepreneurship. I stopped taking as many big steps and many big leaps. You and I were talking in the green room about, you know, gearing up and getting excited when you're about to take a leap and all that energy that's fueling you. It's a little nervous. It's a little excitement. It's a little scared, but it's all part of your process and you know it. So you let it flow. And I started capping the flow. It was so unnerving. And I didn't understand why. Part of it is I needed a different level of advisors, right? Yeah. But going up that mountain, to use your previous analogy, you know, some of the people who train you can help you get around the rubble and the different things towards the base of the mountain. And then you need a different level to help you in the middle of the mountain, because now there's snow here, right? Like, there's absolutely. Well, what about the people who are experts at dealing with less oxygen? Because the higher you go, the air is very different. And I didn't necessarily understand that because I had already had 20 plus years as a clinician and did all the things I could do at that level, loved what I did, wasn't in love with it anymore, which was why I heeded the call to entrepreneurship, to have something bigger than me pulling me forth, right? All the things that you and I were talking in the green room, and doing that was so scary.
Yeah.
It was so freaking scary. It really did shift me into the next version of my growth and of myself, that if someone would have told me, oh, this is what you're going to go through, you're going to get scared. What? Nikita, scared of who? Where? When? I'm from Philadelphia. Excuse you. Right? Like, where?
Point to the scaredness, because I don't see
it. I don't see it.
Yes.
I don't know if I would have volunteered to sign up for it. I do know that I would have heeded, because everything is purposeful. And this is where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely. I love what you said so much. I have never heard someone acknowledge that taking the leap into entrepreneurship actually made them play smaller, not bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is such an interesting dynamic, because we all start our businesses out of a desire to do more, be more, have more impact, make more money, gain more freedom. Whatever version, whatever flavor of that is floats your boat.
That's right.
There's something to that that just attracts you. And because I had an exactly similar experience, right? I was the top of my social and I was being mentored by the CEO of the group, of this $1 billion group.
Come on. You know,
I have arrived so hard, right? So I have arrived so hard. I was 20, whatever, 28 years old, right?
At the time. A baby.
And then I was a baby, right? Mm-hmm. At the time, I did not think I was a baby. I thought I was so grown, right? And I became pregnant at 30.
Yeah.
I had a baby, and then I took a year off, and then I started my own business.
Mm.
I really expected to start at the top of the heap. because I had done it for other people.
Right.
I had coached, I had advised, I had helped people start from zero and build a business to $1 million. First, I did it in 18 months and then I did it in six.
Yeah.
And I figured if I could do it for other people, then of course I could do it for myself.
Right.
And when you begin your entrepreneurial adventures, if you're starting with a product line that someone else creates and you're customizing and selling, wildly different than when
very different.
I got nothing. I'm starting me and my smarts.
That's
and
right.
The shock of the reality setting in of, wait a minute, I have to do everything. I have to figure out the accounting and the branding and the messaging and the product offer and make the product and deliver the product and develop the relationship and where's the time in every single day, right?
Exactly.
Of course. So I was chatting through with my business partner about how other people go through this process. And I merged our firms and built legacy. You know, we started at year five, right? Like we just jumped right on in. We already did all that hard entrepreneurial work.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurial life,
yeah,
it demands, if you do it well, it demands that you expand your capacity.
Yes.
It demands it. It's like when you choose to parent well, it demands that you learn how to be patient. What's that? Right? Nobody's like, oh, sign me up for every small irritation all day, every day, so that I can be patient. Like, want that. They're like, please make me patient. And then when we get the opportunity to practice the long line in the grocery store and the whininess in the evening and the.
Exactly.
We don't like the experience of the practice. We just want the fruit, right? But the fruit is the last thing that grows on the tree.
Exactly.
The last thing. You don't start with the fruit. And there are plenty of trees that blossom for years and years and years and years and years. And then oh, all of a sudden now we're fruit producing, right? And sometimes we stand in judgment of the tree because it's not fruit yet.
Right. And what's wrong with you?
That's right. And for all of our entrepreneurs and leaders listening in, remember that this journey that you feel might feel really lonely on, that you might feel like nobody else has done this but me, like I'm the only one suffering from this. We are two strong women, successful women who support other multi-million dollar leaders.
Yes.
Telling you this was our experience.
Yes.
So you're going through it too. And you're having the experience of like, ooh, I shrunk back, right? I stumbled, or I lost a major contract, or I lost a major client, or I had a lawsuit come against me, or something happened and it made you shrink.
Right.
Not take that as the end of your story, right? Doesn't have to be the end for you. And it's normal that you can be intimidated. Even when you're the strongest, most successful, you can be intimidated by the vastness of what's ahead, right?
That's so true.
And
I'm thinking about the name of your recent retreat that you just finished with Resetting the Narrative. Yeah. I think a lot of humans think that because they put the pen down on something, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just not doing it. I'm over it. I'm going back in. I'm going out. I'm going into corporate. I'm walking out of corporate. I'm doing the tango. I'm doing all the things. I'm retiring. They put the pen down and they think the story stops, and it doesn't. The narrator, which is you, is still talking, is still creating more content. If we were to, you know, go that way, it's still happening. And it's just a matter of whether or not you're going to transcribe that into something powerful, meaningful, and pun intended here, potent, that other people can benefit from.
That's right. There's a beautiful phrase that I've heard, I adopted as my own many years ago. Like you're living a narrative, whether you know it or not, and you have the power to choose whether you want an empowering narrative or a disempowering one.
That's right.
Right. You have the power. And I love to say not just the power, but you have the privilege to choose. Right.
Yes.
It's not a punishment. It's a privilege.
Yes.
And you get to, not you got to, you get to. And I love when you can own your story, when you can own your past, and you can say, this is where I was. And that wasn't the end for me. Yeah. And it shocked me, and I had to get over the shock. And I had to realize, like, where do I need to up level here? Because No, it's the Henry Ford, what if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten,
Insanity.
right? Yeah, that's Einstein quote, right? Doing the same thing, expecting a different result. There are so many great thinkers that have said the same thing is going to get you the same thing, right? And we think that when we face that intimidation or when we get struck by how hard it is, that somehow we've lost all of our skill. It's not that, it's that we have to be supported in reimagining and up-leveling how to utilize that whole repertoire that we still have in
Yes.
a vastly new environment, right?
Yeah. And it does require sometimes other people to help us see that. Like
One.
I'm looking at the beautiful painting, which I know is very meaningful to you, that's behind you, which is gorgeous. So for those of you who are watching it, please look and pay attention. It has all my brand colors in it, by the way. She doesn't know that it's a gift coming my way soon. She doesn't know it yet. But as I'm looking at it, if you were the art, which we are, on the actual canvas, you being the art can't see the blind spots of where what needs to be filled in. And sometimes we need other people, other artists, if you will, whether of similar industry or across different verticals, to help us see, like, Nikita, did you mean for that to be yellow over there? Did you mean for you to have green? Did you mean not to use your anointing of edification? Did you mean not to use all of your nerdiness? Did you mean not to use your confidence? Did you mean to shrink back? Or did you want more color over here too? Like, what did you mean from that? And then, obviously, to your point of the kind of tree analogy, you still get to inform your own decision of where you want to go and how you want to grow. They can tell you, but it's up to you to choose where you want to move forward.
Yes. So there's such an interest. I love that you said that you get to choose how you want to go. So advisors are super important. Like that's our legacy leadership. It's what we do, right? We do all the work for you. We help you see it. We help you figure it out. And then we will walk with you hand in hand, step by step on the implementation. But the owners are the ones who need to say, I am going to hire that new marketing consultant. I am going to bring in a CRO,
That's
right?
right.
And not just settle for having a sales team. I want a high-level leader to bring them to that next level, right? As we build up that, it's you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. If you are the picture and you are inside the frame, you can't both be the picture and see the picture at the same time.
That's right.
Right? So it's so important to find people who deeply allow you that self-expression and don't limit it, but also don't let you play small, right? Who will call you out and say, "Hey, did you mean to shrink back? Because I noticed you did."
Absolutely.
That takes a strength in and of itself, right? To be able receive when someone calls you forward on it.
And
So
it does take also for you to feel that you have people in your life that feel that they can say that to you
absolutely.
too. Because if you have hired a bunch of yes people that will not challenge you to the next version of yourself, your greatness, your 10.0 version of yourself, or even friends and family are nervous because you haven't learned to communicate effectively and you're shutting people down with aggression, or pulling back to the point that no one can access you to be able to give you feedback. All of those things add up to you not getting information that you could have had if you have a different version of relationship management.
That's so good. I love different version of relationship. Not better, not worse, just
Just
different.
different.
Just different. There's so much interest in that you have to take personal responsibility for your decision, right? There's whether a decision's made or a decision is not made, you made a decision,
Come
right?
on.
Lack of decision is still a decision, right?
Listen, cost of inaction.
Cost of inaction, absolutely, right? And there's so many times that you're standing on that precipice and you're asking yourself, oh my gosh, should I, should I, should I, should I? Very few times when people are sharing their story do they say, I made a leap and I profoundly regret doing it, right? The only times I've ever heard people say, I profoundly regret doing this leap is when they acted against their own best judgment, right? That is the only time.
That
But
part.
we talked earlier about it, and I wanted to pull this thread back in that familiar often is interpreted by us as safe, right? So mm-hmm. you're keeping those people at that kitchen table, to your earlier analogy, mm-hmm. you are ending up curating a group of familiar people, of familiar advisors, because mm-hmm. you feel familiar safe. But the person who's in an abusive relationship thinks an abusive relationship is safe because it's their familiar.
That's
right? It's just a mislabeling in our subconscious mm-hmm. that familiar equals safe. Yeah. Right. So sometimes when we're pushing ourselves beyond what our normal limit has been, mm-hmm. we feel unsafe, we feel uncertain, we feel unsteady because mm-hmm. we're doing something new. But that discomfort does not mean it's the wrong step. And
that's right.
Beauty is just beyond the push, right? Just beyond the discomfort. And I love the boldly embracing selfishness, boldly embracing balance with this T over B mm-hmm. philosophy of yours. It's just such a rallying cry to be willing to embrace the discomfort and to reset your table.
Yes. That should be the name of this show. Reset your table of this episode.
There you go. You found an episode title for us. I love it when it happens. Such a beautiful thing. So I wanted to ask you, I know we're waxing a little poetic here, but I think it's well worth our time to one little quick question before we do a couple little wrap up points here for our people. You know, do you consider yourself successful?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, because of I'm a nerd, we've established that. I look at being prosperous in kind of dimensions. There's wisdom, which I have no doubt that I have because I've opened myself up to receive from the wisest source that I believe in, which is God. There's, you know, tangible wealth, if you will, where you can, you know, pay your bills and make investments and have overflow. There's health, which, praise God, what is the Latin term? Spiro ergo prospero. I have breath, therefore I am prosperous. Anyone can check me on that because my Latin is a little bad. It's been a while since I've been in third grade.
I'm good, and I think you nailed it.
And I did. Okay. Like, I had Latin in third grade. That's where I'm pulling it from. But
I was almost a Latin minor. Okay. In college. I know.
This is why I love you.
Nerdy. Yes. So hard. I nerd like, hard.
You're so hard. I love you so much. And of course, so there's wisdom, there's wealth, there's health, there is absolute peace and love and joy. And all of those things are not only a part of what I do and what I curate through the work that I do, I literally live it. So at Thig Pro, which is short for our company name, Thig Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, a huge part of our philosophy is we have to walk our talk. So we infuse micro sabbaticals twice a year, 1 6-week and 1 3-week every year for the last almost 10 and a half of our 13 years that the whole company takes fully paid.
Wow.
We infuse it. We have 4-day work weeks. Like, we infuse work-life balance in the traditional sense of the term, sustainable business practices, mental health awareness, because it's super important, and fulfilling intimate relationships through the way that I lead as a steward leader, which is a little mix of like coaching and servant leadership together. Yeah. All of those things make me successful, in my humble opinion.
No, I love it. I love it. Own it. So for you, the secret recipe, I love to hear everyone's equation of success, because that's what we do here. Like, we explore that, because success is such a, it's taken to such a narrow meaning,
but
broad and personalized component. And when you can understand and articulate your own equation of success, you live in it. Right. Yeah. And it was really clear that you've done that. So your equation is wealth is actually wisdom plus overflowing wealth plus health plus peace, love, and joy.
Yes.
Right. So I love it. You have a 6-point equation that accumulates into success. And it's just such a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, we could chat forever. We already
of
know.
Of course.
We've tested this theory multiple times, right? If you want to search up a couple of Nikita's podcasts, she has two really, really cool podcasts. Nikita, you want to tell people where to find them?
Yes, you can find them on any of your favorite podcast apps. Apple is where we have our Balance and Relationship channel, which holds both the Balance Boldly for Ambitious Women in Business and A Few Brave Men. That's the podcast about navigating transitions and creating healthy relationships across all dimensions of your relationships, from work to romantic. And then we have our newest one, The Lazy Overachiever, which you can see Madeline was just a recent guest. She's been a guest on both, but she was just a recent guest on the TLO, which is The Lazy Overachiever.
Yes, beautiful. So if you want to hear more from Nikita, go check her out on her podcast. And if they want to connect with you on a business level, where should they go to find you, Nikita?
Easiest place is go to our website, which is thigpro.com. It's a little play off my name, thigpro.com, and you'll find everything you need there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, this has been so delightful. And for you listening at home, I want to just recap a couple of really beautiful moments that we shared. I always feel like these podcasts, when I'm listening, they run by so fast. I'm like, oh my gosh, so many good things were said. So I just really want to highlight Nikita's balance equation, which is truth over boundaries, T over B is going to give you balance. And that's just such a rich context where truth is about living your most expansive version of yourself with clarity of for yourself and giving yourself permission to reach into the next level again and again and again and again, right? Let it be an overflow process, right? I absolutely love that. And I truly appreciated your authentic sharing and transparent sharing about how jumping into entrepreneurial life made you actually draw back, pull back a little bit, play less daring, play less boldly, play less high risky, right? Risk, but smart risk, right? And that you had to go through that by really resetting the table with new advisors, up-leveling your thinking, and not discarding the people who got you there, but maybe reconsidering who needs to be your intimate stage of advisors. Yes. And just living that so full out. That was such an exciting way of thinking through who's playing a key role in speaking into your future. Because while you still get to choose, those people who are speaking into it really infuse what comes next, right? Mm. So, oh, this was so delightful.
So juicy.
Yes, so good.
You make me want to listen to this show. I want to listen to this episode again and again and again.
Well, great. You can certainly do that, right? Like, that's the joy of the internet, right? Of our podcast platforms. So thank you so much for sharing this wisdom with us today, Nikita. This was such a delight. And for sharing with us your success equation, which I'm going to share with our listeners one last time before we wrap up, which is wisdom plus overflowing wealth plus health plus peace plus love plus joy equals success. Thank you. All right, my friends. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of our Scaling the Gap podcast. Continue forward with success in your day. Catch you on the next episode. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scaling the Gap. If you're an ambitious leader with an established business and a growth mindset, head over to legacyleadershipinstitute.com, click on Insights and the podcast, and check out how to become a guest. And if you got something out of this interview and would like to share the episode on social media, we would be delighted. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your social. If you know someone who'd be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show, and be sure to include our hashtag Scaling the Gap. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and fresh content, so to ensure that you don't miss any of it, go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. Your thumbs up, ratings, reviews go such a long way to helping us promote the show and mean so much to me and my team. If you want to know more about us, head over to legacyleadershipinstitute.com or follow me on LinkedIn. We're on a mission to help leaders leverage introspection, scale the organizations, and create lasting and enduring legacies. And we want you to be part of our movement. See you on the next episode.